Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. We're very glad to have you with us today. And we've got, a whole level of importance to the topic that we're going to talk about today, because while we cover lots and lots of topics around banking and marketing itself, we also importantly cover a lot of things about the self part and how we bring things to our banks and to the work that we do. And Dan, great to see you, man. I'm excited about where we're going with this, and think there's got a everybody's got application of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I think so. It's something I think about a lot, and I know a lot of other people do too. So
there you go. Yeah. Well, so Dan, we started this conversation the other day, and you and I were actually kind of talking about personal life stuff a little bit, and kids, and this and that, and we were talking about and we got into the discussion about work-life balance. And you run a marketing agency. I run a marketing agency. We have folks that work for us. We've got lots of bank clients, all that. It's tricky sometimes, right? And as we were talking about that, you brought up this term, and we kind of had a whole discussion about it. And I think this is what will be valuable to our listeners today, about work-life integration as opposed to or beyond just balance. So work-life integration. So Dan, tell us a little bit, what is that? And how is it applicable?
Yeah, well, you know, the term work-life balance, as everybody's probably heard that, it's been around a long time. I think I first heard it 20 years ago when I was like consulting, and you know, it was this thing of you live your life and be able to like turn off work and go, you know, do personal things, do your life things when work is done. And so it was this idea of balancing your work and life. And it was just, looking back, is pretty silly because I was traveling Monday through Thursday every single week for like three straight years. I'm like, how do you really balance that? You're not home. You know, you're 1,000 miles from home. But I don't know the full etymology of the term, but you know, that's where I kind of first heard about it. And you know, coming out of the pandemic, I think everything has changed. People were working from home. Which, you know, necessarily kind of integrates the two things. So this concept of like work-life integration has come up. And if you think about the difference between the word balance and the word integration, is really balance implies the two are sort of forces that are fighting with each other, right? But I think, you know, the reality is more they're forces that we need to, kind of complement and build each other. You know, if you have if you're fulfilled from your home life, it's easier to be fulfilled from your work life because you're showing up, you know, kind of from a better place than if you're super stressed at work, you know, it's going to carry over to home. So if you Google work-life integration, the first thing that kind of comes up is from this site called betterup.com, not promoting it, just happens to be the first thing that comes up. I want to give them credit. And it says work-life integration is integrating one's work and life to complement and support each other. So it's really like, you know, how do the two play off of each other, right? How do you make work? I mean, work is a part of your life. We spend a lot of our waking hours at work, or you know, even if we're not at work, we're thinking about it. So instead of trying to kind of shut it off so we can live our lives, it's how do you balance it? How do you make it a valuable part of your life?
Well, and Dan, I think an important consideration, and I like that definition, particularly the part that it's about the two complementing and supporting one another. Right. Not the opposite ends of the seesaw. Yeah. But how are they truly integrated? So that's a great part of it. And I think an important consideration here also is the physical space for that and the mental emotional space for that. Meaning, you know, for frontline bank staff, they probably have the blessing of the fact that it's easier because once you balance your drawer, you check out, you go home. Hopefully you're not spending a lot of brain energy you know, on that. And hopefully you're not answering client emails at night and you know, all those. So there's the physical and then there's the mental consumption of work that leaves with you. And that's kind of an obvious example, as opposed to a lot of our audience, you know, that are execs and C-suites and officers and those climbing the ladder, you know, so to speak, at banks and other related industries that do take that home with us. And boy, that's difficult. You know, I know you and I had a guest on recently that was talking about one of the SEC football coaches, you know, as an example, that would leave the workout, you know, the stadium, and, you know, would leave campus, you know, after practices and pass a certain point on the road going home. And that's where he both, hopefully physically, I don't know if that was go to airplane mode on your phone or what that is, you know, but mentally would shift gears to home. So there's that, and it's the physical space and it's the mental space. And like you said, there's so many examples of folks working remotely that, you know, might be on a Zoom meeting like this and in their pajamas, and the dog runs by in the background, and, you know, got laundry running down the hall and running a client meeting, you know. And so I don't know, there are a lot of things that are of consideration here, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like, I've got kids. We're recording this in the summer, right? Kids are in camp, and the camp changes pretty much every week, right? So like this week, I dropping them off at 9 and picking them up at 3. But, you know, a couple weeks ago, they got picked up at like 1:45. And, you know, it's part of it, you know, for me right now is like it scheduling things around that, right? I know that that's coming up and I still need to work, but I can kind of schedule things around that. And we're, you know, I recognize too, we're coming from a place of like, we run our own agencies. We have that flexibility. Not everybody's in that same situation, but just one example of, hey, like I still need to work, but I also need to, you know, get my kids to camp. That enables me to work while they're there, but I need the ability to go kind of pick them up and get them to where they need to be. And I think just coming out of the pandemic where everybody was home for a long period of time, like we got used to those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know there's a lot of news out there about just the return to work right now, the return to the office. And it's affecting most industries, right, different than it is in banking, because in banking, you've got your frontline staff that has to be there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we're returning, it doesn't have to necessarily, I think, the point of work-life integration, like there's a way to do this where it's not about a return to exactly what it was pre-pandemic, right? It's a return to something that works really well, and probably some aspects of working from home for your bank may have worked, you know, may work better, right? And, you know, some require you coming, you know, people to come in. But, you know, I'm thinking a lot through this around, yeah, we don't have to go back to exactly the way it was just because that's how it was.
Mm. Good point.
People need different things today. And if you're thinking about work-life integration for yourself, for your staff, yeah, a lot of considerations.
Yep.
As we kind of navigate the next, you know, in the next year or two of where we're working from.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and for our listeners today here in the episode, we're going to cover, I think, some a few significant points here that are going to give you some great takeaways. So considering the value of everybody's time, today, I think I wanted to kind of line that out. And your comments a second ago led to our next big point, Dan, which is about teams. So teams with us, with all of us in the industry and in the banking industry, while so many of our community banks are seeking younger and younger audiences as customers, there's a lot of that also with team recruitment. And who are we bringing in? And needing, you know, younger folks, you know, coming into positions within the bank and all of that. And you made a point to me the other day that was spot on when we were discussing this, is that that's so much of what people today, and probably particularly younger people, are looking for and are attracted to and assuming they're going to have some level of work time flexibility or work from home or, you know, some of this. Which also, from their perspective, is the assumption that they're going to have a good bit of this work-life integration, that this gray area there.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking before we hit record too of just staffing's also been an issue. But if you're struggling to hire, you kind of have to realize too, like the people you're hiring, you're competing with other you might be competing with other like non-bank companies. People, you know, candidates might be interviewing there as well, and work-life integration, or the way that they can manage their lives around work is a big decision, big part of why people choose to work certain places. So yeah, I think it's a huge thing to think about for your teams.
Yeah, and we had a great episode a few episodes back that was largely about recruitment, and this was a significant point made by a renowned professional in the industry. You know, in recruitment, that, you know, that banking is no longer a suit and tie 8-to-5 as a given, or it certainly shouldn't be. And those that are trying to recruit, you know, these days very much need to take that into consideration. The job roles need to be done and accomplished. But our work environments have changed, and maybe that's a positive thing that came out of the pandemic time, is that, you know, that has shifted that environment some. So great points about teams there. Well, and another one here, Dan, too, was I described it as fitting the puzzle pieces together. And in your definition of integration that you read early, again, it's these things not working in conflict with one another, my personal time, my work time. But how do they integrate well and still have some level of boundaries, you know, right, and those types of things, and that the puzzle pieces do need to fit together. And you had shared another podcast with me, and Cortland Allen, that runs an organization called Indie Hackers, I loved what he said, and I'll share this quote. What parts of my work are actually just a good way to live life in general? So again, those are not things, which brings to mind, Dan, for me, the who I am, the what I am in my personal life, you know, as a friend, as a spouse, as a parent, as all those things. And even, I guess you can call it moral code and all of those things that make up the who I am personally, is about, I don't need to expect nor seek to be a different person at work and necessarily turn those things off.
Yeah, I think I kind of hinted at the beginning of the episode, but it's just if you fit the puzzle pieces together well, right? If your work is rewarding, your personal life is rewarding, they'll, you know, there's kind of a 1+1=3 kind of effect, right? If I've had a bad day at work, I need to kind of reset myself coming home. If I'm taking the kids to camp and they're like they were this morning, just punching each other in the back of the car. My kids are 7 and 9, so it's like part of two brothers, so part of growing up, I think. But like it brings stress into my day, right? But you know, if we can, it'd probably bring more stress into my day if like I couldn't, you know, get out of things to take them to camp and I had to find alternative arrangements or something like that. So, you know, it's going to mean something different for everybody on your team. But if you're striving to like balance this for yourself, recognize, I think the parts of your work that are a good way to live life in general, to that quote, are going to, you know, be different for everybody on the team. So I know we've had some good episodes you mentioned around recruiting, around culture. I think this is just kind of marrying of those two things.
Yeah.
But, you know, people that work on your team have lives. And if we can, it's not kind of giving up control over their jobs, right? But if we can help them with this integration, I think they bring more energy, they bring more of their true selves to, you know, to work, and, you know, make your team culture stronger, are probably more productive and happy in you know, interacting with your customers. There's a lot of benefits of it versus saying you have to be here 9-to-5, you know, sit in your chair.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And or an expectation that you're never going to answer an email in the evening, you know, especially if you're waiting on an important whatever, you know, you're trying to get a loan, you know, to go through with an important customer, and, you know, as if you're not going to check for that ever.
Right.
You know, that they're going to correspond with you or something, that, and that's not real.
And if you give somebody more flexibility during the day to like do their personal life things, they're probably more willing to say, okay, I'm going to respond to this email at 8:00 at night. right? You know, it's a bit of a different feeling than just trying to make people work all day, all the time. That's not what we're saying. But it's kind of like if you expect them to respond to the customer at 8 at night, then you should, you know, be a little bit more flexible during the day if they, you know.
Yeah, the dog's got to go to the vet at 11. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. So Dan, along with that, the definition that you shared at the beginning of the episode here, I wanted to call attention to the second part of it. And it fits very well with what we were just discussing. And it says that it's the process of allowing space for both work and your personal life so that you can feel fulfilled in both aspects. And that's related to what we were just talking about, is that fulfillment. And you gave good examples of that there. And, you know, again, it's not kind of the old school thinking of those being work and life being two totally separate things, and that the fulfillment at those two things are separate, because they are not, you know, necessarily. And Cortland Allen's, you know, quote a minute ago spoke to that as well, that the integration of those is about fulfillment, you know. And it's not that work is great all the time and personal life is great all the time, you know, but those two things certainly do impact one another, especially in the way that we do business these days.
Yeah, exactly. I think fulfillment as the goal, not balance, right? Not work-life balance is the goal. Are you creating an environment for yourself, for your staff, that enables them to be fulfilled at work and gives them the flexibility to pursue what fulfills them outside of work?
There you go. Well, you know, Dan, as we came into this episode today, I wanted to go ahead and share with all of our listeners that I do an amazing job of all of this. And I know you do too. You know, this work-life integration, I mean, it's flawless, man. And, yeah. And I have a perfect set of boundaries for both. Just ask my wife. And, you know, speaking of checking emails at night and all that. But, you know, and just do a fabulous job of this. Just ask my staff. Just ask my wife, right? Well, of course, they would all go, yeah, right. And truth, transparently here, and to quit being sarcastic about it, you know, in a previous business that I had and grew and owned before this marketing agency, Dan, I was rightfully labeled as a workaholic. And, you know, really not good stuff. And not kidding about that. But I mean, you know, 7 days a week, extended hours kind of stuff, and all of that, very unhealthy. And not only unbalanced, but there wasn't, you know, there wasn't integration, because I snuffed out so much of my personal life, you know, because work was kind of all that I did. And so point is, either extreme is what's not a good thing. And we do have to share work and personal time in the hours that we're awake. So to integrate those well toward that fulfillment is very significant. And we have to be intentional about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're bringing up the example of like your scheduler link, your calendar link.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great one. I mentioned to you, Dan, you know, when that was accidental, when I started using a live electronic calendar that I could share a couple of years ago, I put all my work meetings on it, you know, and all of that, and then shared that with a prospect, a client one day, to book a meeting and had all my open time. Well, they clicked on it and booked a meeting. Well, quickly I realized that was like my grandkids, you know, play at school time and all that. So I had to trip over that. But the lesson I very quickly learned there was the entirety of my personal life and my professional life now exist on my calendar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and right. I used to try to keep two, or like my wife and I would keep a separate calendar. And now it's just all on one. And, you know, just, I will block time out if I've got to get somewhere for, you know, for the kids. And my online scheduler link is intentionally restricted, right? Like, mm-hmm. I work relatively normal hours, but like I lock that thing down so that, you know, people can really only book time during certain hours. And I'm always here, right? If somebody said, I can't find a time or I don't work those days, like, can we find another time? Yeah, like I can work with you on that. But if I can lock it down, then I know, you know, I'm not going to get a surprise meeting. You know, I know, and I try to keep a day or two a week kind of mostly free from meetings just to have some kind of thinking and planning time. And, you know, some meetings kind of creep in. But, you know, it's a very intentional, like it feels when you first start with it, it feels strange to sort of say, no, you can't book a meeting with me, mm-hmm. except for these, you know, small windows. But it really helps me work-life integrate, you know, because I know here's when I need to be kind of presentable and in a quiet spot. And, you know, here's when I can get some thinking time done and maybe go to a coffee shop or things like that.
There you go. Well, and those are some great examples. And so some of our listeners will be like, well, I mean, I bought my calendar for my vacation. Okay. Well, yeah, I understand that. But the kind of thing that we're talking about is, sure, blocking vacation so you don't book work things, you know, but Dan, I'm one of those that I don't mind sharing. Date night with my wife is blocked on my calendar and it's a non-negotiable. Unless she and I both say, well, you know, whatever, there's some reason in advance to change that. And, you know, a men's small group that I do and all, you know, all these things are booked out and intentional. And I guess by doing that, self-learned over time that those are non-negotiables. And what that helps do is keep my priorities. Now, yeah. On the other side, I like the example that you used. I mean, I keep a couple of days a week as open as I can possibly keep them for availability with clients, you know, and meetings and those types of things too. So that priority is also there. But, you know, and then the result of that is hopefully having a week that is, you know, kind of all of the above happens and some fulfillment. And yes, I'll use the word balance, but you know, that there is some of that balance outcome, you know, happens for all of that. So I think it's an important takeaway for our listeners. Even if you only do that a little bit, maybe ratchet that up and you know, how you coach your own calendar life.
There's this, you know, a meme floating around that's, you know, the European going on vacation or like the European, you know, out of office, you know, auto reply. And it's like, I'm off, you know, camping for the month of August. I'll, you know, email me back in September if you need to get a hold of me. And then the American is like, I'll be out of the office for 2 hours for kidney surgery, but available on email. Like, you know, and it's, I think, obviously reality is somewhere in between the two, but it's like that. Like you have to intentionally make the balance. And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway here is it's not achieving kind of work-life integration isn't something that'll just kind of happen because stuff fills the amount of time you give it, right? Like work just, if there's a 1 hour task and you have 3 hours, it's probably going to take, you know, could take you the 3 hours. It's going to fill to like, you're going to keep researching or keep, you know, perfecting it and it's going to fill the time that you give it. So you've got to have intentionality and just, and block.
There you go.
Both for the personal and the work stuff. And I think that's how that intentionality is what helps you achieve it.
Well, good. Dan, it's an important conversation to have. We get so entrenched in the minutiae of accomplishment and the work that we're doing and how to market and run banks in all this. I think if we don't pause and have these conversations and call attention to our guests that also bring in really important experience, strength, and hope in some of these areas as well, that we don't pay attention to it. And then the results are, yes, things are out of balance, but it's burnout. It's lack of fulfillment, one of our important points today. And we don't utilize intentionality to be proactive about, you know, this complementing and supporting of our work and personal lives. So mm-hmm. very, very important stuff.
For sure.
Great.
For sure.
Well, man, good to take a few minutes and visit about this, Dan. I think it's some great takeaways for our listeners.
Yeah, I know I need to go block some time on my calendar.
There you go. So. Both for work and some life things. There you go. Well, man, thanks for gathering up for everybody. We appreciate you very much. During this episode, we have mentioned a number of our prior episodes. So if you're a new listener, please jump on and first of all, be sure to subscribe because we regularly have guests that are industry leaders and folks that offer a lot of very valuable takeaways and information. And we regularly cover topics across the whole spans of things that are very valuable. So go to our website, bankmarketingshow.com. Check out some of those episodes. Hunt through there a while. We've been on the air close to a couple of years now, and I've got plenty of episodes for you to find things that are really valuable to what it is that you need in this day and time.
And sign up for the companion newsletter, bankmarketingminute.com. So we'll notify you when new episodes get released, and we usually follow up with some more kind of written text. So we'll go a little deeper on the topics we touch on in the podcast.
And Dan, I've gotten comments from folks too that by doing that as a Bank Marketing Minute, we're giving them very juicy, literally read it in a minute or two, takeaways that are really valuable. So well worth folks' time to sign up for that at Bank Marketing Minute as well. Great thought. Yeah. All right. Man, have a great rest of your day. Go get integrated with the rest of your life too.
You too.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.